Yeah, I'm just taking it. I don't know what he's going to say. We never know. We never know. But that's what makes it fun, right? Yeah, I heard that. Amen. So as he just said, my name is Wendy Bizzott. I'm the co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard and also his wife. That's why I was on the other side of the bed. Just clarifying. So we are, let's say our mission statement together so that I can get it together. Let's say it. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we are all about here at Mercy Vineyard. And this morning we're continuing a four-part series. This is part three of the series called Unbreakable. And we're talking about creating the conditions in our lives that make us able to stand against like the storms and the struggles and the things, the chaos that comes against us, right? Because if there's one thing we know, which we learned in the previous series, is that crap happens, right? Crap happens. So how can we stand when it does? So that's what we've been talking about. We started out with prayer and how prayer is the foundation of an unbreakable spirit. Without prayer, without communication with God, there is really no relationship, right? Plain and simple. So prayer needs to be a part of our lives, and we can't wait until the storm comes to start praying. We have to pray all the time, right? And then we talked about time in the scriptures and how a life built on God's words will stand, just like the scripture talks about the house that's built on the rock or the house that's built on sand, right? So this morning, we're going to talk about another practice we need to cultivate. And that is worship. And for the sake of clarification, worship is a lifestyle, okay? So it's not just singing and lifting our hands. Worship is how we treat the cashier when we're checking out. Worship is how we act with our neighbors. Worship is how we treat our children, okay? But it encompasses every area of our lives. But today we're going to focus on the singing, music, speaking of praise, okay? So that's the aspect that we're going to focus on today. So about 20 years ago, Lee and I lived in New Mexico. And Forrest was about 3 years old at the time, I think. And one day, Lee suddenly lost his job, got laid off. And there was no two-week notice, no nothing. He was just done. And finding a job in the tiny town of Roswell, New Mexico, that made more than minimum wage was not an easy task. So we're basically just without an income all of a sudden. I wasn't working. And there happened to be some meetings going on at our church at the time that were happening during the week. And so since he didn't have a job, we're like, well, let's go. So we went to church and we received prayer. And the woman that prayed for us told us to go home, put on some music, and praise God together. And we were like, okay. Because we didn't really feel like it. Who feels like praising God at that moment when you have no idea where your next paycheck is going to come from? You know, you're in a very low place. And so that was pretty counterintuitive. We were worried and anxious and not all excited about going home and worshiping God. But we did it. And so we put on some music back in the day, CDs. And we were in the living room together, and we just praised God together, even Forrest, because you put on music, and he would dance. So you know how toddlers are, right? So we just worshiped. And so after we were done, I mean, yeah, we were still kind of wondering, what's our situation going to be like? Well, what are we going to do? But we did have more peace. We did feel a little bit more at rest. The next day, Lee was offered a job that was, it was that night. Sorry, I thought it was the next day. That night, he was offered a job with better pay, benefits, and at a really reputable company in that area, which how in the world would he have gotten that job? It just happened. It was God, right? Now, was it our worship that made that happen? Maybe, but even if not, the worship changed us, right? How many times have you worried about something incessantly And then everything turns out okay, and you go, oh, I wasted all that time. Don't we waste a lot of time worrying and being anxious when God has got it? We just can't see what he's doing, right? So I want to look at how praise helps us to be unbreakable. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the tools that you give us, Lord, not only to communicate with you and to connect with you, but that those tools also make us stronger. And God, as we dig into your word this morning, I pray that you would reveal your truth to us, that you would make it come alive in us, and God, that you would cause it to transform us today. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to the Old Testament today. King Jehoshaphat of Judah was a God-fearing king, and we're going to look in 2 Chronicles 20, where there were three neighboring kingdoms that were coming together and forming an alliance against Judah and against King Jehoshaphat. And the first thing that he did was pray. Remember what we talked about the first week, right? He prayed, and then he ordered his people to pray. And then, so they all came together, and Jehoshaphat was praying aloud to God, and that's where we're going to pick up the story, starting in verse 13. It says, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jay, son of Zechariah. I'm not going to try to say them all. Son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. Say that with me. Stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. So God tells them to go out the next day into the battle, but that they're not even going to need to fight. Then what do? They begin to worship before they've even experienced the victory, right? The enemy was coming against them, and they did not know, like we do, they did not know what the outcome was going to be, right? Other than what God was telling them. So I can imagine that they were nervous. They were a little anxious, a little afraid, right? They were human, after all, so I can't imagine that they would not have some nerves. But they worshiped anyway, and I believe it probably gave them the confidence they needed to keep moving forward. Let's read on. It says, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Can you imagine being among those who were told to go in front? You go out first, but you're not going to have weapons. You're just going to be singing. Wait, what? Okay. That takes some courage, right? At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Kind of morbid, but my point is this. Because we have an enemy, don't we? right? And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm not gonna do it. So the scripture says, after the army started fighting against each other, the scripture says that it took them 3 days to gather the plunder from the victory of that battle. And then they gathered afterward. They gathered together and they worshiped the Lord again, right? To praise him for the victory. So here's what I want you to remember today. Praise is warfare that brings victory. Praise is warfare that brings victory. We're in a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us, right? It says that the enemy, it says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So God has already equipped us with every weapon that we need to keep the victory, because he's already won it, right? He won the victory on the cross. It's already ours. But he's given us the tools that we need to keep that victory. So how is praise an important weapon? So first of all, praise lifts your eyes from the battle to the victory, right? It has a way of multiplying your faith because it takes our eyes off of the circumstance and puts them on a God who is all-powerful and all-loving, right? It's kind of hard to meditate on your circumstances or on your pain if you're meditating on him, isn't it? It's kind of hard to worry when you're in worship, right? So it takes our eyes off of that. And rather than blaming God, because sometimes we do that when crap happens, don't we? What the heck, God? Why'd you let this happen? Rather than blaming him, right? When we trust him through our worship, it changes our hearts. It also means that we're not focusing on the enemy, but we're surrendering the battle into God's hands. We're not focusing on us and why is this happening to me. We're not focusing on the devil and I'm going to beat the devil. We're focusing on him, right? The second thing praise does is it helps to align our thoughts with God's truth. So as we sing and speak praise to God, his truth is internalized. And we can see things better from his perspective, and we can banish the lies of the enemy. We remember our position. What's our position? We sang it this morning. We're sons and daughters of God, right? We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be slaves to sin or fear. We're his kids. So it reminds us of our position. And then the third thing it does is worship brings our mind and our emotions into alignment. So we may know that the Bible says we have victory, right? We may know. And we may know that God loves us and is faithful to save us. But as we worship, we begin to believe it, don't we? It becomes a part of us. It's not just intellectual assent or yes, this is what the Bible says, but it becomes something that we believe with all of our being. And we become more centered and focused. And we begin to let his love infiltrate every part. And we begin to live like he loves us. Right? Because if we live like he loves us, we live differently. So what are some simple ways we can incorporate praise into our lives that will help us be unbreakable? Basically, we learn to worship by worshiping. But there are a few steps you can take that will help you in the experience. So I want to talk about those. So just like we've talked about with prayer and Bible reading, we want to learn to practice the presence of God daily. So this can be as simple as turning your thoughts towards him or whispering a prayer to him throughout the day, whispering thanks to him, right? You can sing to him as you go about your routine. You can turn on worship music and praise him. Let your spirit agree with the truth of those songs, right? Your praise and worship, though, during the week, the time that you spend in worship during the week in your own time will transform the corporate experience when we come together. If every single one of us was spending time in worship during the week, when we come together on Sunday mornings, the roof would come off, right? Because God is in that. Like, it's like, I can't describe it, but there's something about it. When we come together as his people and we're already in that heart of worship, we don't need warm-up time or time to get into it or, you know, okay, let's, you know what I mean? So we can be ready by the first song for all of us to be all in, focused on him, right? It's an amazing thing. If you've ever experienced it, it's quite unreal. So the second thing, and it's a repeat, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is a big thing. Sing. Singing is meant to move us into praise. It actually provides the medium for the expression of emotion. And through music, we express our joy and our thanksgiving, right? Music has emotion attached to it. So how many of you, when you hear a song tied to a particular event in your life, like maybe you had music playing while your child was being born, and then you hear that song and go, oh, it's like you're transported back to that moment, right? And singing is meant to move us into praise and into thanksgiving towards the Lord. There are no less than 41 psalms that command us to sing to the Lord. So singing is absolutely a part of worship. Even if you don't feel like you sing well, even if you say, I don't like to sing, too bad. We're supposed to sing to the Lord because he is worthy of all praise. And you know what? Science even backs this up. Research shows that singing both soothes your nerves and it elevates your spirits. So we actually release endorphins and oxytocin when we sing, which are both hormones that help alleviate anxiety and stress. Do you know that? Oxytocin also enhances feelings of trust and bonding. And studies have shown that singing can lessen depression and loneliness. So science doesn't say this, but doesn't it make sense that when we sing to God, if the oxytocin is released to bring greater sense of trust and bonding, don't you think that that might relate to him too? Because we sing to him. Great. Don't you feel a greater sense of trust and bonding when you're singing to the Lord? Yeah, God designed us that way so that that would happen when we're singing. Singing regularly also causes lower levels of cortisol, which means less stress, just generally speaking. One study suggests that during group singing, our heart rates may sync up. Isn't that cool? So that causes musical vibrations almost in the room, and that musical vibrations are healing, like transformative to your heart. So God knew what he was doing, right? When he told us to sing together. And I know sometimes it seems strange, you know, because the church is one of the only places now where people come together and they sing, right? It doesn't happen as much anymore, but the research I was reading says that more people are joining like choral groups and like singing groups because of how good it makes them feel when they sing as a group. So I would encourage you, when we're all here together, sing. Because it's transformative. And after I read this, I started, like, I sing most days, but probably not every day. And I was like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if singing every day actually elevates my mood. And it worked. I probably annoyed my children a little bit, but it worked, right? I was feeling good. So, yeah, I think I did. But it's okay, because when mom's in a good mood, everybody's in a good mood, right? So it doesn't matter what you sound like. And even this is even according to the research and the studies, it said it doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not. That doesn't change the effects it has on you. So it doesn't matter whether you sing well or not, sing. And you know what? Remember that as just like with prayer, God being our Father, when we sing to Him, it sounds beautiful, right? Just like when our kids bring us a picture, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, we think it's awesome. Or when they, you know, when any of my kids have sung me a song, that's beautiful. Doesn't matter whether they're on key or not, right? So when we sing to our Father, He loves it. In our scripture passage, singing was what sent the enemy into confusion. That's a lot of power. So it stands to reason that when the lies are coming and when the enemy is trying to infiltrate our thoughts and our feelings, sing, because that could send all of that into confusion. Not only that, but you're feeding yourself the truth. You know, and maybe you're like, I don't know the scripture to recite it to myself, and I don't have a Bible nearby. Then sing a song, right? Even if you only know the chorus of the song, sing it over and over and over again. And then the third thing is this. Learn to offer a sacrifice of worship. You will not always feel like worshiping, right? I didn't feel like praising God after Lee lost his job. I'm sure the people of Judah didn't feel much like worshiping, being that they were under attack. They were going into battle. But our circumstances do not change God's worth. So when we worship, we're transformed. When Paul and Silas were in prison, I'm sure they didn't feel like singing. I mean, if you look into the scripture, they were beaten with rods. And then they were thrown into like a dungeon, the deepest parts of the prison. And then they were put in stocks. And what did they do? They sang. And I can't imagine that they really felt much like doing that. I mean, most of us would be thinking, God, where were you? Why did you let this happen to me? I was preaching your word, and here I am, right? But instead, they found it an opportunity for praise, and they worshiped him. And then what happened? So let's look at it. Acts 16:25-26. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. When we praise, God brings freedom. God brings freedom. The chains can be released. We can be changed and transformed. And then others around us are affected as well, right? The other prisoners weren't singing praise. But because Paul and Silas were praising God in that place and filling that place with his praise, all the other prisoners were set free. That's amazing. The power of our praise. Praise can bring victory over depression. Praise can bring victory over bondage and addiction. Praise can bring freedom from anxiety. It can fill our hearts with thanksgiving. So I don't know why we wouldn't do it. Do you? Y'all are so quiet. I don't know why we wouldn't praise God. Do you? No, that's right. Thank you. Yes, He is worthy. And it doesn't matter how we feel. It doesn't. And that's just the amazing thing about God. The amazing thing about God is He commands us to sing. He commands us to worship. He is worth it all. So we bow our knee, we praise Him, we adore Him. And what happens? We're set free. We're changed. We are transformed. Isn't He good? Come on, you all got to praise Him. I'm going to get all Southern on you right now. I don't know how to do it. So one of the common threads with all the things we've talked about in this series is, like I said, we don't wait for the crap to happen in order to fill our lives with the things that will help us stand when it comes, right? We fill our lives with prayer, scripture, and worship, and we do it now so that we can stand in the midst of the storm, so that we can deal with the stuff that comes our way. And when we miss a day or two or five, we don't give up. We just start again. We just start again. Right? And we watch God bring his power and his victory and his freedom into our lives. So I want to challenge you to begin incorporating worship into your daily life. And this could be simply, like, maybe you don't know what to say or sing. Speak a psalm. Open up the Psalms and just speak one out loud to God. Well, not the lamenting ones. I mean, you could, but, you know. Like Psalm 100, I believe, is just praise the Lord, praise, you know, the name of the Lord, and it just goes into praise, right? You could sing a hymn or a worship song from church. Music is readily available almost everywhere, free, all the time. So pull something up and sing along with it, right? Whisper adoration and thanks to God throughout the day. When something happens that's amazing or worth thanking him for, just thank him right there, right? So I just want to ask, how many of you will commit to worship five? We did this last week with the scripture. Y'all committed to reading scripture for 5 minutes a day, right? Every day till the end of the year. So how many of you will commit to worship 5 minutes a day, every day, to the end of the year? Who will do that with me? I really, truly believe that as we do that, our worship here will change too. It will be transformed, right? Imagine seeing your feelings of anxiety begin to dissipate. Imagine seeing depression begin to lift, experiencing faith on the inside, rising. Imagine entering into a greater depth of relationship with the Father just because you're adoring him every day. Imagine experiencing greater victory, the victory that is already yours, and having your emotions and your thoughts line up with the truth. Oh, that in and of itself is worth the price of admission right there, right? So between the prayer and the worship and the scripture, our thoughts and our emotions don't stand a chance, right? The enemy doesn't stand a chance. Can you imagine what our gathered worship times will begin to look like if we're all doing this? And imagine this, not only the impact it'll have on our time together in here on Sunday mornings, but just like when Paul and Silas were singing, how that impacted the people in the prison, how it loosed chains on the people around them. Imagine how our praise can impact our community for the kingdom. That's worth getting excited about. Right? So we're going to worship him now because there's no better time. Yes? I'm done except for that word we had. But you can. Okay, we had a word during our prayer time this morning. Oh, do you want to give it?
So I got the sense this morning that there might be person or persons here who, the best way I could describe it is, are you guys familiar with the term imposter syndrome? Have you heard that around? You just feel like people are going to find out about you when you're successful. People are going to find out you're really not successful and so on and so forth. And I got this sense of there's people here who have that sense about their Christian faith, that they're just waiting for people to find them out, and it's just causing stress and anxiety. And first of all, we are back there every week, and I know this is about somebody, so I better see somebody back there, but anyway, that's beside the point. The thing that I felt like God wanted to say is I don't think there's a single parent here who hasn't yelled at their child. I don't think there's a single employee here who hasn't done something shady at work. I mean, nobody lives this perfect life, and I guess we're all imposters in that way. But that would be the encouragement. If there's nothing to find out, you're learning. You're just taking it one day at a time. There's no secret that is going to be revealed about you. God's just saying, you're just come to me, And that's it.
All right. So go ahead and get prayer this morning as we get started, if that applies to you. I felt like the other thing is that there are people that feel like they go to worship or they go to praise, or we have a time of singing here, and in their mind they're just thinking, I just can't fake it, you know, I don't feel like it, I don't feel like God is good, so I'm not going to sing it. And the way that God created us is that in many cases we speak it first, and then it becomes manifest in our feelings later. And so there's nothing noble. It doesn't make you of more integrity to go, well, I don't feel it, so I'm not going to sing it. Because that's not how God created you. And your feelings about God do not determine the truth about God. Just because you might not feel like God is good at the time doesn't change the fact that God is good at the time. And he's worthy of your praise regardless of how you feel it, okay? And so I just really, really want to encourage you with that today. So feel it or not, give him praise, because I'll bet you Paul and Silas didn't feel like it. I'm just saying, if you're like literally lowered into a hole in the ground and you have chains on you, and you're probably surrounded by filth and stench and all sorts of awful, you're probably not going to feel, they probably didn't feel like praising, but they did, and the chains fell off. And so I just want to encourage you to praise today, especially since we have this second opportunity, regardless of how you feel, right?